Ah, great. Okay, so so what I'll be talking about are essentially, well, we begin with a Shimura variety attached to a Shimura datum, and so this has, seen as before, it has something called the minimal compactification, or the Bailey-Borel Satake compactification. This is already seen, I think, in Sophie Morel's talk, the first day of the conference. So usually this is singular, as is normal, but singular, it's projective. So one constructs these toroidal compactifications, which are kind of resolutions, and they are attached to, so I mean, this is kind of the formal structure, where sigma is, well, it's some additional datum, so we saw this in Taylor's talk yesterday, so it's a cone decomposition. So this was initially constructed so over the complex numbers. This is constructed by Ash, Mumford, and Rappaport. That was descended over the reflex field. By Pink, in general, so this work to do Harris as well, what is kind of the formal shape of things? Well, the minimal compactification, it admits this is something that we saw again in a couple of talks earlier. So this admits a stratification in terms of maximal parabolics and plus some additional data into sort of smaller Shimura varieties where this GP is, so it's what's called the Hermitian part of the Levy quotient. Anyway, so this is some notation. And so the map from the toroidal compactification to the minimal compactification, I mean, the toroidal compactification also admits a stratification in terms of P, and then some additional data, and then this cone decomposition. So to every parabolic, this cone decomposition gives you certain cones, which are kind of indexed by the set, sigma sub p. And let me write this as psi p of sigma. So what is psi p of sigma? So it's kind of a local kind of boundary component for our compactification. And it sort of looks like this. So this is your Shimura variety. That's kind of the stratum of the minimal compactification. And this is an abelian scheme over it. And this is actually a torus torsor for the torus, right, E sub P with its co-character group. I mean, we'd actually need this description later on, which is why I'm kind of giving it. So the co-character group of EP is actually a lattice inside of here, where UP is the center of the radical P. So this is a lot of notation. So let me now give an example of all this in a situation where my Shimura datum is just a symplectic Shimura datum, which is kind of the... Oh, sorry, I didn't explain this. So sigma, actually, there's something to explain. So inside of UP of R, you have a certain cone, and sigma P is a essentially a cone decomposition into rational polyhedral cones for this. Sorry, it's too loud. Well, okay, maybe I'm kind of all right. So into rational polyhedral cones for this cone inside of here. Again, I'll give examples of all this in the symplectic situation. So this is a cone decomposition for HP. And so if sigma is a cone in essentially the co-character lattice for my torus, then I can construct a torus embedding for my torus, and this is just kind of the attached torus embedding for the torsor of the torus. And that's kind of, so the basic local structure of the toroidal compactification is that. So let's look at the case when G is just GSB2G and is attached to the symplectic form given by that matrix, then we can kind of list, at least up to conjugacy, all the maximal parabolics in GSB2G. So if you fix a number between 0 and G, then you can look at the parabolic that fixes the isotropic substrate spanned by, so let me call this basis. Okay. That's not what the basis is called. Okay, so let me call this basis E1 through EG and FG through F1. So if you have a parabolic that fixes the first R vectors, then it kind of looks like this. At least it's... So you have an R by R. You have 2g minus r times 2g minus r, and then you have another r by r, and you have stuff there. And this part here, essentially, you can identify this with the Lie algebra of UPR. And so if I set xr to be, well, yes, if I set this to be the Z module spanned by E1 through ER, then I can identify Lie of UPR with symmetric pairings from Q. Okay. All right. So if, in particular, so if R equals G, then I essentially don't have this part here. So this part here is my Hermitian part. So at least it's a Lie algebra of, well, this is just SP of 2 times G minus R. And up to center, that's essentially the Hermitian part GP, at least the Lie algebra of it that I see over there. So well, so now let's look at what happens if I take K to be GSP2G of Z hat, maximal compact, then my picture essentially looks like this. I have so this notation. So this is just the Ziegler-Shimura variety attached to this smaller kind of symplectic space. So it's just GSP 2G minus 2R with its corresponding Ziegler half spaces. And so this has the universal abelian scheme over it. And you can identify this abelian scheme essentially with maps from XR to the universal polarized, principally polarized abelian scheme of genus G minus R. And, well, this is something. So this is some torsor over, say, in this case, X star of EPR. You can identify it with, so this is symmetric Z pairings on X of R, and this is some torsor over it. So let me just tell you what it is when, in the simplest situation, where R equals G, so in that case, you don't really have this, you don't really have anything except the torus torso, which is just the torus. And so if R equals G, then that is just the torus itself. So, I mean, it's just palms from giving a point is the same as giving a symmetric pairing on XT of values in GM. So, that's all it is. I mean, and then you can just take this torus embedding, which essentially Right. So this is kind of the simplest situation where really what's happening is that at the boundary of the compactification of the Ziegler-Shimura variety, you're essentially seeing degenerating abelian varieties. And so one way to construct degenerating abelian varieties is to take many copies of GM and kind of mod out by a period lattice, and you need some positivity conditions on that period lattice, which is potentially given by saying that somehow the pairing lands inside the cone sigma. All right, we'll see this in a bit. So this is kind of the idea. So what we'd actually like to do is construct integral versions of this compactification. And this is done, essentially, this that construction of the boundary charts makes sense in any characteristic. You can make sense of the moduli of principally polarized abelian varieties, and over that you have this universal abelian scheme, and you can construct this torus torsor. It's all kind of very moduli theoretic. The problem is to glue them together. That's kind of the issue. But in our method, we'll kind of avoid to this. So there's file things in Chai. They constructed interval compactifications for Ziegler Shimura varieties. Essentially, when you don't, well, when you have no level at P, so with hyper special level structure at P, if you're constructing compactification at the prime P, and Taiwan Lan, then essentially extend those results. So for all P L type Shimura varieties, and these were both with type of special level. And well, there's some results when the level is not hyperspecial. So Benoit Throw, who did it for like PL type Iwahori level, but still where the group is still unramified. At places where the group is unramified. There are also other constructions of interval compactifications. I think Rappaport constructed compactifications for the Hilbert Marlowe surfaces, and Larson has a construction of Picard Marlowe surfaces, but that's all somehow subsumed now by Taiwan Lan's results. Okay, so our theorem. Well, over the integers where the, I guess the level can be hyperspecial. So in this case, so you eliminate the bad primes, except for, well, Stroll's result is when you have a bad prime but Iwahori level at that prime. Sorry, if you have a good prime and Iwahori level at that prime, sorry, in the sense. And then it's again away from the primes where the group is ramified. So. So, like constructing compactification, the ramified primes are somehow much more delicate. Good. Theorem. So suppose that GX is of Hodge type. So we saw this in Kiffin's talk. Essentially, that means that you can, at least in characteristic zero, interpret the Shimura variety as being the Mylai space of abelian varieties with some kind of additional Hodge cycles. So, and that P is bigger than 2 is a prime. And so this condition, I think, again, just as in Kiffin's talk, I mean, it's very close to being removed. And that the level is hyperspecial at P, well then there exists a cofinal. So you have a cone decomposition, you can refine it by kind of taking a subdivision and make more refined cone decompositions. So that gives you kind of a structure of a poset on the set of cone decompositions. So there exists a cofinal collection of cone decomposition. Sigma, such that Shimura variety, the toroidal compactification extends to a compactification of so we have the integral canonical model constructed by Kissin. There's something that I missed out. So V dividing P is a place and let me call that. So the reflex field. So I can look at that this is a variety of the reflex field, and I can ask it as a model of the completion of the integers at that place. And so the answer is it does. So it has some properties, of course. Otherwise, this is such that the main point is that the boundary is a relative Cartier divisor, and in fact, if you choose your cone decomposition well enough, and you delicate operation. Okay, so this is a relative Cartier divisor, and moreover, I mean, the stratification and Hecker correspondences, you can make sense of Hecker correspondences of these compactifications. Extend. To the integral model. So the point is somehow the stratification has this three-level structure, where the first level is the Shimura variety, and so you can ask that this also has a stratification that looks like the integral model of a Shimura variety and an abelian scheme over it and a torus tarsus over it. So the same kind of picture holds for the stratification integrally. You have some sort of immediate corollaries of it's smooth if you choose your cone decomposition to be smooth. Yeah, so it depends on. If your cone there's a certain condition in your cone decomposition for the compactification to be smooth, and you can choose your cone decomposition to have those properties, and then it will be smooth. Moreover, the divisor will have normal crossings.
Is it the same as in Cartier?
Yes, the same condition.
So
sigma can be chosen. Such that this is smooth, and the boundary has normal crossings. So this, once you have such a result, then it's there is a standard mechanism for going from first corollary for this thing. So the standard mechanism for going from a toroidal compactification to a minimal compactification. Essentially, you construct automorphic forms on your compactification using this ample line bundle, essentially the canonical bundle attached to the... So by construction, one other thing I should say is that by construction, this compactification has universal abelian scheme over it, and you can use that to construct kind of, just like in Kai Wen's talk, you can use that to construct kind of modular forms on your thing, and you can use that in turn to construct an integral model for the minimal compactification. I don't know what notation I used. So it has, with the stratification, with its stratification extends to a projective normal compactification of the integral canonical model, and from here well, combining 1 and 2, somehow you get, well, from here you get this result, which says that if the Shimura variety is proper or projective, precisely when its integral model is proper, projective, well, over the ring of integers. So, and, well, there's a third consequence, so a little more interesting. Which is Morita's conjecture. It says that if A, this is a number field, and A is an abelian variety, if suppose the Mumford-Tate group of A is anisotropic mod center, then A has potential ego reduction at primes, at places above P bigger than 2, where the Mumford-Tate group is unramified. So, I mean, essentially what's happening is that if you have this Mumford-Tate group, you can create a Shimura variety out of it, and it's naturally of Hodge type. And the Mumford-Tate group being anisotropic is exactly equivalent to saying that the associated Shimura variety is compact. So in other words, the abelian variety, if you have a family of abelian varieties in characteristic zero, then with that Mumford-Tate group generically, then it won't degenerate in characteristic zero. And what this shows is that the same result is true in mixed characteristic. Okay. So, I feel like there's been a lot of talk about things of Hodge type, but no real examples. So I want to give you an example of something that's of Hodge type, but not necessarily of PEL type. Before, I mean, then I would proceed to the idea of the proof, the theorem. So, so let's take V to be a quadratic space over Q, a signature and 2, and you take W to be its Clifford algebra, and this has a trace form, the reduced trace, because it's either a central simple algebra over Q or a central simple algebra over a quadratic extension of Q, so it has a trace form. And it also has an anti-involution you can define. So if you pick delta a unit such that it's taken to its negative by the anti-involution, then you can define a symplectic form on W given just by the trace of x delta I star. So this is a symplectic on W. And inside of the units in the Clifford algebra, we have the G-spin group. Essentially, it consists of so the Clifford algebra has a Z-mod 2Z grading, and this G-spin consists of all the things that are even degree that happen to preserve, and V sits inside the Clifford algebra, and that happen to preserve V under conjugation. So G spin, in fact, naturally sits inside the symplectic group attached to there. And you can attach a locally symmetric space to, so it consists of oriented negative definite two planes. Inside of V base change to R, and this maps to the Ziegle half plane, basically the space of negative definite Lagrangians on W. And the way you do this is, well, anyway, there's a way to do this. I want to explain. So this gives you a map of Shimura datum. In fact, the G spin along with this symmetric space is a Shimura datum, and you have a map to the symplectic Shimura datum. And this is the Kugasatake construction. So when n equals 2, you kind of recover Hilbert-Meuler surfaces, essentially, when you look at, and when n equals 3, you get Ziegle threefolds. When n equals, beyond that, I'm not sure if it's a PL type. I think you can show at least for n bigger than equal to 5, it's definitely not a PL type. And it's odd, it's beyond 3, it's never a PL type. But when n is 19, then you kind of get a moduli space for K3 surfaces. So you can somehow use this theory to say something about K3 surfaces, but that's not what we're going to do now. Okay, so that's an example of something Apache type. So beyond, I think, n equals 3, this is not a PL type. But it's still very interesting. So let me now give you the idea of the proof. So the method is basically that of Faltings, Fuzzu, and Kissin. So we've already seen this in Kissin's talk. So we choose an embedding so it's a Hodge type, so that means you can find some symplectic embedding. So for example, the orthogonal group that symplectic embedding works. So arising from, but we wanted to be at least integral at P. So remember G was unramified at P, so this is kind of the reductive model for G over V localized at P. And you want this have some symplectic space. And so G, want that to be the pointwise stabilizer of some tensors already appeared here before. So you have S alphas. And then we will choose the K, we will choose level structures with hyperspecial levels. And such that you have an embedding of Shimura varieties. This is not always the case, but you can choose these levels so that this is an embedding. So now I can kind of first take an integral model for this, which is just the moduli of Abelian varieties, or at least the kinetic component of it. Well, in this case, since it's hyperspecial, it's just the moduli of Abelian varieties. Well, depends how you define it. So anyway, so there's a moduli space of Abelian varieties suitably defined that gives you an integral model for this. And then you can take the Faltings-Chai compactification so this is Faltings-Chai I guess plus Mumford that gives you this compactification, and then what you do is again very simple, you do the same thing that we did for the integral model, which is just take. So this is the so I have a cone decomposition for GSP that induces a cone decomposition so one artifact of this method is that if you give me an arbitrary cone decomposition then I might not be able to construct a compactification but I can kind of refine it and then show that it comes from some such cone decomposition and then I can give you a compactification so that's why I said cofinal instead of any cone decomposition. All right, so this is, what is this? This is a normalization of the Zariski closure. So and the theorem basically is that this is my good model. And so by construction, as you see, it has a, so this on the right hand side, this has universal semi-Abelian scheme over it, and so you get universal semi-Abelian scheme also over your compactification. I think I will abandon that board for now. So what is the well the main point it turns out is to show that this object you constructed, which a priori might be arbitrarily bad in taking the Zariski closure, well, you can say normalizing, so at least it's normal. So the main point is to show that this thing I've just constructed intersects the boundary transversely. The boundary of the bigger Ziegle compactification. So So this is a local problem. So we choose some point. So K over FP is finite. It's a closed point. If it's not the boundary, then we're good. So if it is at the boundary, then we get kind of a we kept kind of the following picture. Might explain what these things are. Okay. Right. So this is the completion of the bigger compactification, which I'll just call that at x0. And this is the completion of the smaller thing, which we want to say something about at x0. So this is a finite map, because we chose it to be a normalization for ZRC closure. And this is the completion of the boundary along x0. Right, so this is by the Falking side construction, this is the divisor in here. And so essentially what we want to show is that these two things intersect in a relative Cartier divisor, at least formally over OEV. So that's essentially what we want to show. So let me take the fiber product of, in terms of, on the level of formal schemes, and I want to show that this is flat. That's the question. That's what it would mean for the intersection to be transversal. So the way this proceeds is just as in the interior, is you have to construct kind of explicit models for both for u hat prime, and once you have an explicit model for u hat prime, then you can hope to write down using these tensors a model for u hat, and then show that that in fact works. So that's essentially the idea of Faltings. It also works at the boundary. So what does one do away from the boundary? So one begins by, away from the boundary, if x0 was just a point in the interior, then you would just note that u hat prime is just a deformation space for the polarized abelian variety ax0. And that's kind of the beginning of the whole story. If you want to understand the local structure, then you understand using deformation theory. And it's kind of relating with Serre-Tate theory to the deformation theory of Petersville groups, and then everything somehow is nice. So the same thing holds at the same exact statement holds even at the boundary. But you just have to kind of replace the object that you're working with. So replace polarized abelian variety by a different kind of object. Unfortunately, I don't have time to explain what this kind of object is, but it has I can give you its name. It's a log one modus. Essentially, sort of degenerations of abelian varieties. So somehow, I won't tell you what this is. This is So you have prime has a logarithmic structure that's given to you by the divisor, and you can think of it in the logarithmic world. And in the logarithmic world, it is a deformation space. But for a somewhat degenerate object, which is, so this is due to Kato. I think Kato's collaborators have like a more elaborate kind of theory that they're trying to construct, where the toroidal compactification would be myelite spaces for these things that they call log abelian varieties. And this is somehow the local avatar of a log abelian variety. So this is somehow not surprising. So if you have a tape curve, let's say E sub P, attached to the parameter P over, so this has semi-stable reduction, and in fact, its reduction is a log one motif, or one motive. So the reduction over FP is the log one motif given by, so a log one motif, like one motif, if you know what a one motif is, it's just a complex where you have a free abelian group mapping into a semi-abelian scheme. So here instead of having just a torus as somehow, sorry, this is FP cross. Instead of just having the points of a torus, I have a somewhat enlarged kind of object that keeps track of the valuation of the parameter I started with. So this sends 1 to 1, 1, 1 being the valuation of P. So that's kind of the object that we're looking at. Okay. So that gives us some kind of deformation theoretic description of U hat, and you can use that to give, or U hat prime, you can use that to write down kind of an explicit coordinate for U hat prime, so you kind of need them. Anyway, so you pick a list, X, to the Shimura variety, to the open part, you can always do that. Boundary is just a divisor of at zero. So now this list, you can attach an honest semi-stable abelian variety over L. So L is a defined extension of QP. And just as in Kissin's talk, the Hodge tensors that I started with give me Galois and Marion tensors. In the Etal cohomology. So it turns out that now I want to somehow transfer these Galois and Marion tensors to something like Kösslin cohomology. So it'd be crystalline cohomology, we have this log one motif, and you can define some sort of crystalline so we can attach to this log one motif, a lattice inside of the filtered phi n module attached to the Galois representation. So this is stable. And then we have kind of the semi-stable version of the key lemma that only works because turns out this is a semi-stable representation of Hodge state wave 0-1. And for them, kind of the theory is no harder than the theory for crystalline representations. ZP, oh, sorry. Well, you get the same result. You can define DST, you still get. So, yeah. This is not an integral DST, it's the usual. So, you have the comparison isomorphism from here to here. So the result is that, again, it the Galois and tensors are carried, the tensors in here, and they define a reductive subgroup. So, and you can somehow use these to construct local models for u hat and u hat prime. So again, as in Kitten's talk, this reduction here does not depend on the choice of lift. Namely, if you have two different lifts, you can relate the Hodge tensors both of them via parallel transport, and somehow they give you the same reduction. So, but really, when you are working in the following situation, so the key difficulty is already somehow in the simplest possible situation. So we assume that x0 lies in the stratum attached to the parabolic subgroup PG, the stratum of the bigger Riegel-Shimura variety, and a cone in here of maximal dimension. In other words, it's not the face of any other cone in the decomposition. So if you assume this, then it's very easy to write down explicit models for u hat prime, because if you remember, it's just you take a torus and you kind of just take a torus embedding. So an explicit model is just you complete the torus embedding along the point. Okay? So u hat prime is just the completed monoid ring. So this is all I'm doing is I'm taking the torus embedding. So this is the completion of this torus, the torus embedding. So since sigma has maximal dimension, it turns out that there's a unique point that's the closed orbit of the action of the torus. And so you can complete along the closed orbit. That basically gives you this. And what is S2X? So this is symmetric tensors in XG tensor XG, and it's dual to the group of bilinear pairings on XG. All right, so this is somehow the co-character lattice for my, this is my character lattice for the torus that I was talking about. And I'm essentially looking only at those monomials that are positive when paired with things in sigma. So that gives you this torus. Okay, so what we want to do is now construct, I think I started about 5 minutes late, so I'm going to end 5 minutes late. What you want to do is somehow construct u hat as a sub-torus embedding of this formal torus embedding. And for that, I need to tell you what the sub-torus should be. All right? So somehow, over characteristic zero, everything has a nice rational structure in terms of just having, you know, you have the Lie algebra, and it has a rational structure. You just intersect, and it gives you automatically have a rational structure. But over here, everything is somehow p-adic, and so you don't really have, you need to do something. So let me just quickly say what it is that you do. So if you start with, if you appoint at least of the rigid analytic space attached to this formal scheme, you can give it a map. Of monoids, so you can attach to this a pairing to here fits inside the units of the fraction field, and I can take the p-adic valuation, and then I get just a q-value pairing. All right. So this is the monodromy. Well, so all right. So this actually lives inside sigma by kind of the way it's constructed. And so Renault. So this is, I guess, part of this theory of degeneration of abelian varieties. Then constructs from X, so you have this abelian variety AX, and AX is just given by at least the L bar points are rigid analytically uniformized by a torus. This is just like Tate's construction, except in higher rank. All right, so. So this uniformization gives me a weight filtration. So it gives me a weight filtration. It looks like this, at least on, so I should be, of course, base changing to L bar, but anyway. So where this looks like actually the cohomology of the discrete subgroup, and this is the graded part here is just that, and so you can identify the unipotent radicals for this filtration with just UG UPG tensor QP. So it's just a symmetric bounding appearance. And so what you want to do now is, I just want to define, so inside of this cohomology group, at least I have these tensors, so I can, that gives me a QP form of the original group G that I started with. So I can look at BG, which I'll take to be the intersection of Li G QP. So I only have a QP form, that is essentially the main problem. I can intersect that with the Li algebra of UPG. So this, well, this is some lattice. Okay? So this is a rational subgroup, and this is a p-adic subgroup, and I intersect them. And a priori, there's no reason why it should even be non-zero. Okay? And so I guess the key claim is that, so the reason I write BG tensor Q is that, in fact, I can intersect with, anyway, so that this is generates the Lie algebra of GQP intersected with UPG tensor QP. So it's as big as it could be. All right? And, well, I don't have very much time, so I'll just tell you what, how this is shown. So how do you prove this claim? Well, what do you have to do? You have to construct lots of elements of so that lie in the intersection of Li GQP and the unipotent radical. All right. So the idea is that you have lots of other maps that go out of here, each of them giving you a different semi-stable abelian variety. All right. So you only look at those that actually lie along your Shimura variety. All right. And the monodromies, which is so this NX that I have up there, is actually you can identify it. If you look at its L-adic realizations and P-adic realizations with the actual monodromy of the abelian variety that you're looking at, and you show that the monodromies of all the abelian varieties that lie along the Shimura variety actually lie in here. And then, like, a funny result in somehow, I guess, tropical geometry or something shows you that it's big enough. It generates the whole thing. So once you have that, this here, this is a lattice inside of here, and you can use that to define a subtorus and a subtorus embedding. And that gives you a local model for U hat. And then you have to show that the local model works. That's the idea. Yeah. Yes. So if you remember the construction, it involves kind of looking at the whole tower and looking at the Heck action along with the action of the adjoint group and taking some kind of quotient. But when you look at compactifications, what's canonical is not somehow you take the tower for all level outside of P, and you also take the tower for all possible cone decomposition. So it's some humongous hairy thing. And you have to work with this. And it can be done. It's just kind of very hairy. Not yet. Yes. Sure, just kind of by, you get a map. As long as you choose your cone decomposition correctly. I mean, the maps are somehow uniquely determined by whatever the map is on the integral canonical model and in characteristic zero. So there could only be one map. So if you show that the map exists, then somehow that's the only possible map.
So when I was 19, you said there were more light-based with K3 testers.
Yes.
Did you use something about K3 testers?
Well, not quite from this. There's other kinds of considerations, but I guess you could study like degenerations of K3 surfaces.
Okay.
But, yeah. Yes. So when I take the subtorus and I take a corresponding torus embedding for the subtorus, and I look at the map from the torus embedding of the subtorus to the torus embedding here, then that's usually the normalization of a closed subscheme. It's not, because any torus embedding is always normal. So you'd expect, it's kind of a technical point. But the point is that when you show that the local model agrees with the actual Shimura variety, at least compactification, then you use the fact that the thing that you chose is that your model that you're trying, at least the scheme that you've defined is normal, because the model that you're going to define will be normal. No, usually it won't be normal. In fact, if you take at least at the boundary, if you take a torus, and you take a torus embedding of a larger torus, and you take the closure, then that's usually not normal. So already for somehow... I don't know.
Right.